Okay, we're starting here on the top of Ayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara here is discussing how the Kohen Gadol conducts himself while he does the Kriyat HaTorah. We mentioned that, first of all, he reads from Parshat Achrei Mot. Then he rolls over to Parshat Emor and reads from that while the Meturgaman is finishing up the last Pasuk from Achrei Mot. Then he picks up the Sefer Torah, wraps it up, and holds it and says, Yoter Mamashi Kariti Kan, there's more than what I read from here is found in this Torah. And then he reads from Chumash Pekudim Baal Peh. He reads by heart from that which is found by the Parshiot of the Musaf of Yom HaKippurim, because he can't roll there in time. He can't get all the way from Amor to Pinchas in the amount of time it would take for the Meturgaman to finish that last Pasuk of Parshat Emor. Now the Gemara says, V'galel Sefer Torah b'chule, Chol kach lamo. Why is he making such efforts to describe to the people that there's more than what's written here and then say it all by heart? Kedei, Shlolo Tzilaz al Sefer Torah. That people will not murmur, spread rumors about the Sefer Torah. Rashi claims it's because people will see that there's a Parsha Shlishit that he's reading Baal Peh, and they will think that there's something missing from the Sefer Torah. That this is a Sefer Torah chaser. And the Rashash points out that it's pretty clear that the Sefer Torah has more in it, but the point is that more on this topic, which is what he's trying to emphasize here, is that the Torah is not done with this topic. Achrei Mot and Emor is not all that the Torah has to say about Yom HaKippurim. There's an additional parsha about Yom HaKippurim, which is not missing from the Torah, and that's further on, and that's why he goes through these efforts. Ubasor shel chumash pukudim kore al peh. Amai. Why? Niglo v'nikre. Why don't we roll it over there and read from it? Amar Rav Huna b'rei d'Rav Yeshua, Amar Rav Sheshet, fi she'en golulim sefer Torah b'tzibur. Because they don't allow you to roll a sefer Torah in the tzibur. Mipnei kvod tzibur. Because of the kvod ha-tzibur, kvod ha-tzibur would preclude you from doing such an action. Rashi says, mipnei kvod ha-tzibur shiu mitzapim v'domimim lekach. They just have to sit around and be silent while the assault takes place. Meaning that they have expectations of the service continuing. And all of a sudden, you're leaving everybody hanging while you go ahead and roll the Torah. So that's not proper or appropriate for the tzibur to be left hanging while you roll the Sefer Torah. V'naiti achrine v'nikra. Why don't we bring another one? Bring a second Sefer Torah and read from it. Rav Huna bar Yehuda amar mishum gomo shorishon. Because that would cast dispersions on the first one. Why did you have to bring out a second Sefer Torah? Because the first one didn't have what you needed in it. And therefore, you have to bring out a second Sefer Torah, in order to worry about that. Rashi says, Mishum b'gamo, shorishon, shalom meru chaser chut, like I just explained, that it's missing. Although the Rashash points out over here that Mishum b'gamo, shorishon, is different than shalom lahotzi laz al Sefer Torah. Before, we already explained that shalom lahotzi laz al Sefer Torah means that we're worried about something being missing from it. Over here, Mishum b'gamo, shorishon. So the Rashash wants to suggest, it's not that you'd be worried about something being missing from it, but rather, bizayon. It's simple bizayon. Alright, you could argue that. He doesn't say that it is psul in the Torah, but more importantly, it's just bizayon. You already have a Sefer Torah here. Why would you bring another Sefer Torah when you already have what you need in front of you? Or, you could have argued, ein mavrin al mitzvot. Why are you leaving this Sefer Torah and going to another Sefer Torah? So for that reason, we do not bring out a second Sefer Torah. Rish Lakish amar, Rish Lakish says the reason is, mishum brocha she'ena tzricha. Otherwise it generates a brocha that is unnecessary. But you would have to worry about the fact that when you take out the second Sefer, that you'd have to make an additional brocha on the Sefer. And that's a brocha she'ena tzricha, because the original brocha on the Kriyat HaTorah should really cover that Kriya as well. And now when you bring it out, the assumption being that a new Sefer requires a new brocha. And because the new Sefer requires a new brocha, then you land yourself in a position of brocha she'ena tzricha. An unnecessary brocha, because you've already made a Birkat HaTorah. So now to make an additional Birkat HaTorah would be unnecessary, therefore we don't bring in a second Sefer over here. Again, the Rashash points out that it's very interesting that our minhag is to bring out all the Sifrei Torah at once. We bring them all out at once. Now if we bring them all out at once, we actually would run into the problem that is mentioned here in the Gemara of Bracha She'ina Tzricha. Bracha She'ina Tzricha, because why are we making a bracha when we took out all the Sifrei Torah together, which the Gemara here says is not necessary. You're going to make another bracha, even though you made a bracha on the first Torah, and all of them are present. That means that you don't have to make a new bracha. He says, therefore, our Gemara sounds like the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says that when you take out multiple Sifrei Torah, you don't take them all out at once. You take them out one at a time. You take out the Sefer Torah you're reading from, you put it back in the Aron, and then you bring out another Sefer Torah to read the next Parsha from. Then you put it back in the Aron and bring out the next one, because then you don't run into a problem of Brocha She'ena tzricha. He says that's not our minhag, but he says from this Gemara and the Yerushalmi, it sounds that that should be the practice. That's number one. Number two is, this halacha has a pivotal impact in the case of a pasul Sefer Torah. In an instance where they found a pasul in the Sefer Torah, now they have to bring out another Sefer Torah to read from. So the Rishonim deal with, first of all, where do you have to read from? How far do you have to go back? Can you start from where you stopped? That's not the topic here. But it is a significant topic and much has been written about it. Exactly what? Even our minhag that's based on the Ramah is also not so clear. We pick up pieces of different Rishonim. One of the issues they deal with, does he have to make another bracha? When you bring down the Sekhet Sefer Torah, do you make a bracha on that Sefer? Or do you not make a bracha on that Sefer because you're continuing the Kriya that was started in the first Sefer? So one of the proofs that's brought here is this issue of bracha she'ena tzricha. That one bracha can cover multiple Sifrei Torah, that you would not necessarily have to make a bracha when you continue in the new Sefer, which happens to be our practice. As long as the person who's getting the Aliyah doesn't speak, doesn't have a break in his bracha, then we continue without making a new bracha on the new Sefer. But there was the one argue that that's just the opposite here. A proof from here that you do need to make a new bracha, because it's only a bracha shein tzricha when both of them were there in the first place. But here, when you're bringing out a new Sefer, that you have to start with, then that's not a bracha shein tzricha because that's a completely new sefer. Mar says, "Umi chashinan libgama." Do we worry about pagam? V'amar Yitzchak Nafko. What do you mean pagam? We have our minhag, which is Rosh Chodesh Tevet Shechaliot Bishabbat. This is the quiz question: how many times a year can you take out three sifrei Torah? So this is one of the times, which is Rosh Chodesh Tevet, which always falls out during Hanukkah. That year it happened to also fall out on Shabbat. So you have Rosh Chodesh, Hanukkah, and Shabbat together. Mevin Shlosh Torot. We bring out three Torahs. Korin Achat Binyanyo Shel Yom. You read one from Parshat HaShavua. V'achat Shel Rosh Chodesh. The second Sefer you read from Rosh Chodesh. V'achat Shel Chanukah. And then you read one from Chanukah. Tzlata Gavrei, B'tzlata Sifrei, Leka Begamo. That's not a problem, because here you bring up separate people for the Aliyah. So we avoid the problem of Pgam, because each Sefer, a separate Sefer, gets a separate Aliyah. By doing that, there's no Pgam or Bizei on the Sefer. The problem here by the Kohen Gadol is, it's a single individual, and we're bringing out another Sefer for him to read from. So that would be inappropriate in that case, and that's why we wouldn't do it. But here, where each topic is completely separate, and you have a separate Aliyah that goes with each one of them, there we don't worry about pigam. Kad gavra betray sifrei ikav gama. But when you have one individual, you're reading two sifrei Torah, then you do have a chashash of gam, because it's the same sefer. Why are you bring out another sefer when this one individual's here, and there's no reason to change, it feels like. You could work with one sefer Torah. As far as the bracha is concerned, a bracha shein etzricha, with maftir it's a lot easier. As the Tosafot says in the end of Gemara Megillah, he says that by maftir, we intentionally say kaddish before we bring maftir. Number one is so that it doesn't count towards the Shivat Olim. But it also creates a hefsek that you wouldn't make a brocha when you brought out the next sefer, because the kaddish is a mafsik. It's something that stops and ends. So now when you make the brocha on the next sefer, we don't have any problem with that. No brocha shein etzricha, because you've done something that is mafsik between the first sefer and the second sefer. Where you have a difficulty is, in this case of the three sefrei Torah, you don't have something that's mafsik between them, which is you have the Sefer that's brought out, and then you read from Rosh Chodesh immediately afterwards, the seventh Aliyah, and you don't have necessarily a mafsik. Now you are correct, a new person, a new Aliyah, so you get rid of the problem of Gam. As far as Bracha Shein Tzricha, it's not so simple. Our minhag today is that each individual gets called up, makes a Sefer Bracha. So because of that, we make another Bracha, because it's a new Aliyah. But in terms of in their day, they only first Bracha and last Bracha, it might be that they would not have made a bracha on that seventh Aliyah. It would have continued from the first Aliyah. The bracha would have covered both Sifrei Torah, because they're both present. They're both there at the time. Again, the Rishash points out that the way that the Gemara laid out before, it would be much easier if you put each Sefer away and brought out the next Sefer when you're ready to read, because then it's clear that the bracha is not chal on it, and it would be much easier in terms of the setup here, like the Yerushalmi. Again, our practice is not that way. What you see from there is that bringing a new sefer seems to trigger a new bracha, but if they were present, or if we knew you're going to read it up front, that it's a bracha shein tzricha. So that's the tension here. It seems to me new sefer Torah generates a bracha, and the question is the necessity of that bracha. Should you be generating such a bracha? Clearly, if you have all the sefarim out there, you run into a problem, because the new sefer generates a bracha, but on the other hand, it's there all the time. So why should you have to make a new bracha? Again, in our practice, where every aliyah gets a separate bracha, it's less of an issue. But in their day, when there was one bracha for the whole seven, maybe over there it shouldn't make a separate bracha because the Sefer Torah is there and present that whole time. All right. Then he makes for shmone brachot, which we saw in the Mishnah. We already noted in the Mishnah that there are nine brachot mentioned and not eight brachot mentioned in the Mishnah. Here we're going to have a braita that enumerates eight brachot, which leaves out one of the items that's in our Mishnah. For that reason, the Gro, the Bach, eliminate that item in our Mishnah. I mentioned that when we were going through it, that the girsa of the Mishnah is somewhat problematic, and they eliminate Yerushalayim from the Mishnah because it's not found in the braita. Tan Rabbanan. Ala Torah. Kedeir akshem avachim bebeit haKnesset. Ala Torah is the way they make it in the shul, which is Asher Natanlanu Torah Temet, which is the bracha achrei haTorah. Ala Vuda is Ritzei, and then the conclusion that we have for the regalim, that's what Rashi says, Shodchalo Vadcha Biran Avot, Valo Da'a is Modim, plus Atov Shimcha Unuchanelo Dot, Val Michilo Ta'avon, Kitikna, like the way we have it. Klat Avon is the Yom Kippur Davening, Kenu V'lokei Avotenu, Mechol V'cholom Anotenu, V'yom HaKippurim Azeh, and then it finishes, Melech Mochel V'Solech Lavanotenu, Lavanot Amo Beit Yisrael, the conclusion that we have in our Shmona Esrei. V'yal HaMikdash B'fnei Atzmo, Baruch Shebachar Be Mikdash, that Hashem chose the Mikdash. Val Kohanim b'fnei atzman. Kohanim get a bracha, which is Baruch Shebachar b'zaro shel Aharon. Val Yisrael b'fnei atzman. Yisrael gets a bracha, Baruch Shebachar b'Yisrael. Val Shara Tfila. And the remainder of Tfila, which the Gemara will discuss in a second, what that bracha is. So here you have enumerated eight brachot. The one that's missing is Al Yerushalayim. So Al Yerushalayim is missing, and that's why the Gro and the Bach eliminate Yerushalayim from the Mishnah, because it's not found here in the Braita, and you would have nine instead of eight. Now, the Rambam, on the other hand, has an interesting count here. He says, Ala Torah is not just the bracha achrona in the Torah, it's also the bracha rishona ala Torah. It's not just the bracha achrona, but also the bracha rishona, and therefore he has two brachot for the Torah. So now the Rambam is back to the same problem that you have nine brachot even in the Braita. So he combines the last two brachot. Al Yisrael, Bifnei Atzman, Vashar Tfilah is one bracha according to the Rambam. The bracha on Yisrael and the Shar Tfilah is really one joint bracha. That's how the Rambam gets the count of eight. There are other Rishonim who suggest that Yerushalayim is left in. They have the Girsa of Yerushalayim and it's left in, and there's a bracha of Yerushalayim. And our Shara Tfilah is not real bracha. Shara Tfilah is just like a introduction to the remainder of Tfilah, which we'll see in a second. So for the eight count is without the one of Shara Tfilah, they count Yerushalayim. So those are the three different ways you can get to the eight count that you have over here. Tan Rabbanan, v'shara Tfilah, what is this bracha of Shara Tfilah? Rina, Tchina, Bakasha, Milafanecha. So all of these words that the opening should be a song, beseeching you, Bakasha, at a request of you, Al Amecho Yisrael, so tzrichim hivasha, that they need to be saved. V'choteim b'shomeya tefillah. And we'll finish up, v'chata, Hashem, shomeya tefillah. So basically just asking for salvation from Hashem. It's a very basic tefillah of shomeya tefillah. And the next piece here is very interesting. There's really no explanation for it, but it says, v'chakach kol achad v'chad mevi sefer Torah mebeito v'koreh bo. After this, everybody brings the sefer Torah from their house and reads from it. Kedei larot chazuto l'rabim, to show it off to the public. Now, first of all, Kol echad v'echad mevi mebeito is interesting because how'd you get it there? Yom HaKippurim, you're not allowed to carry. The Rashi already notes the problem. It says they brought it in Erev Yom HaKippurim. They brought their Sefer Torah from Erev Yom Kippur. They left it in the Mikdash. Others want to suggest that Yerushalayim is only a Karmelit, so that it's not a problem if they close the doors to Yerushalayim and the gates to Yerushalayim, since they close them at night. It's only a Karmelit, so they could have brought them on Yom Kippur with an Eruv. Pita is made, they got the Sifrei Torah and they're there in the Mikdash. Then it says, Larot Chazuto L'Rabim, to show it off. Now Rashi says, here, you know what Chazuto L'Rabim is? The Arot Noyo Shosefi Torah. Mitziferet Balea Shetarachlit Naot B'Mitzvah. Show it off to people that he did this Mitzvah in a beautiful way. The mitzvah is that of writing a Sefer Torah. And each person has a personal Sefer Torah. And he's showing off that it's written beautifully and it's a beautiful cloth and so on and so forth. All those things that he did to enhance the mitzvah, he gets to show this now in public. Okay, but what does this have to do with Avodat Yom HaKippurim? And why is this placed over here? And aside from that, what do they read in it? But Korei Bo doesn't tell you what they were reading from the Sefer Torah. Now you could suggest that they were reading along with the Kohen Gadol, or because they couldn't hear him, there were so many people there, they couldn't hear the Kohen Gadol. So this is the way they followed what the Kohen Gadol was reading, or they could read it to themselves. Like, you have your own Megillah on Purim, and you can't hear the Chazan for whatever reason, and you can read along with him, so that you're Yotzei within the Megillah. That's one possibility. I want to suggest here the possibility that Yom HaKippurim has significance besides it being the day of Kaparat Avonot, or why it became the day of Kaparat Avonot, is because, as the Gemara in the end of Tanit tells us, it's a special day because on that day Moshe came down with the second Luchot, and Bnei Yisrael were granted Kapara. So the Netinat HaTorah, or the bringing of the Luchot, is culminated on Yom HaKippurim. Shavuot commemorates the Mamad Har Sinai, but that ended with the tragic breaking of the Luchot in the time of the Maaseh Egel after Moshe comes down 40 days. 120 days later, Moshe shows up with whole Luchot on Yom HaKippurim. So there's a significance on Yom HaKippurim of Matan Torah. It's the culmination of Matan Torah on Yom HaKippurim, and a successful Matan Torah. And that might be the significance of bringing the Torot to the Mikdash, reading from the Torot, showing off the Torah, because it is a mitzvah of the day, quote-unquote, because that is what makes the day unique, is that we have the successful bringing of Luchot HaShniot and the Kapara that Bnei Israel attained. Maybe that's a possibility as to connect between this and the Avodah of Yom HaKippurim. Now, Re'a Kohen Gadol, Lo Mibnei She'enu Rasha, we saw in the Mishnah that you can only be one of two places. You can either be on Har HaZeitim, watching them burn the Parim, HaNisrafim, the Par, and the Seir, HaPnimim, assuming that it was on Har HaZeitim, otherwise it was on the north side of Yerushalayim, wherever they burnt it, you could be there. Or you could be hearing the Kohen Gadol read inside of the Azara. So when it says Pshita, it's just a physical impossibility. You can't be outside of Yerushalayim and inside the Ezrat Nashim at the same time. So why does the Mishnah have to tell you? We would have thought like Reish Lakish. You're not allowed to pass up a mitzvah. Umay mitzvah. What mitzvah are you passing up over here? Provam Adrat Melech, that the being in the multitudes is something that gives kavod, is the honor of the king, is the glory of the king. Mashmalan, that it's not so. Mashmalan here is not clear. What is the conclusion? You could have one of two conclusions here. One conclusion is that, as a spectator, there is no din of Mavirin al mitzvot. That's one possibility. That here, you're a spectator. When you come to your Kriyat HaTorah, you're simply a spectator. You go up to watch the Par and Seir and Nisraf, you're a spectator. And so the Gemara says, it would have been a possibility that it was Mavir al mitzvot. The answer is, there is no Mavirin al mitzvot here because you're simply a spectator. That's one possibility. The other possibility is that it's about Rovam Hadrat Melech. There is a mitzvah here. The mitzvah is Rovam Hadrat Melech, which is, the more, the merrier. The more people here, the more kavod, glory to God. And therefore, there's a mitzvah to bring people together. For instance, by Kriyat HaMegillah. Kriyat HaMegillah, the Mishnah Berurah brings down, right down Aloha. You should go to a place where there are more people. Because there's Rovam Hadrat Melech, Persume Nisa. That is an enhancement of the mitzvah. So to go to a place where there are more people than less people is a better mitzvah with regards to Kriyat HaMegillah. Obviously, if it compromises your ability to hear the Megillah, then that's an offset. But in general, we say Barovam Adrat Melech, we say that Persume Nisa, these ideas are mitzvot that enhance what you're doing, and therefore you should search after them. But that is not governed by Ein Mavirin Ala Mitzvot. In Ein Mavirin, a mitzvot is a mitzvah that's particular to you, rather than something that's created by your presence. And therefore, Ein Mavirin Ala Mitzvot, what the Gemara says, Kamashalan, is that Ein Mavirin Ala Mitzvot doesn't apply to Barovam Adrat Melech. Barovam Adrat Melech is not governed by in Mervirin ala mitzvot. Obviously, it has an afkam, you know, for exactly the case that I'm speaking about here. For instance, if you're walking past a shul, that's a bigger shul, and then you go to a shul that has fewer people in it. Do we say that's Mervirin ala mitzvot? You have a chance here to do Barovam Hadrat Melech. Maybe if you're in the shul, you entered the shul, and now you're leaving. Can you leave? Because is that a Mavirin ala mitzvot? Here, you're not a spectator anymore. You're going to daven. You're a participant in the tefillah. So if you say that a Mavirin ala mitzvot doesn't apply to being a spectator, but when you're involved, the mitzvah does apply, then it might apply even in that case. On the other hand, if the Rovam Hadrat Melech does not have, is not governed by a Mavirin ala mitzvot, there wouldn't be a problem to leave there either. Rovam Hadrat Melech is an enhancement, but it's not a strong enough mitzvah to say they can't pass it up. You can go on to the other shul. That's not called Mavirin ala mitzvot. Right, it's not clear from the Gemara what the Kamash Malan is, what it's focused on, but it does have nafkamina l'alacha, how you would view moving on from a particular location that has more people to lesser people, is that problem of mavirin ala mitzvot. That's the question here. Is this concept only an enhancement concept, and therefore then if you have other enhancements, they offset it, or is it a core mitzvah, and therefore you can't pass it up? Alright, next Mishnah. Alright, this Mishnah is couched in much controversy. Because here the Mishnah is trying to finish off the Avodah of the day. There's certain things about the Avodah of the day that are very clear, and we know the order of them. Other things, we don't know the order of them, and the Mishnah answers that question. There are other items that the Gemara never addresses, and we have to find out where they're placed. what the Rishonim are doing here and the Tanaim are trying to figure out the layout of the day. There are certain things that we know for sure. We know that the Kohen Gadol ends up going to the mikveh 5 times. He switches his clothing 5 times. So we know he starts out in the morning with Big Day Zahav, switches to Big Day Lavan, switches back to Big Day Zahav, back to Big Day Lavan, and then back to Big Day Zahav. That part we do know. The other thing we do know, as far as the Big Day Lavan are concerned, with regards to the Big Day Lavan, we know which avodot we do, and there's no machloket about that. First of all, it was just laid out in the Mishnayot. So Seder Hayom of Yom HaKippurim, the avodot that are related to him in Big Day Lavan, that is all clear, and there's no controversy with regards to that. So for instance, the Par Aron, the Aktarat HaKtoret Bifnai Bifnim in the Kodesh HaKodeshim, the Seir HaNaseh Bifim, the Seir HaMishtaleach, and the Kriyat HaTorah, all of those are when he puts on the second vestments, when he puts on the Big Day Lavan. When he puts those on, he does all of that avodah. That's the avodah tayom. Afterwards, when he switched back to Big Day Zav and then back to the Big Day Lavan, everybody agrees in that series, that last Big Day Lavan, all he does there is Hotzat Kaf Machta. He goes in and takes out the pan and the spoon that he left in the Kodesh HaKodeshim from the Ktoret. Those are all muskam lakol. Everybody agrees with that. The other thing that everybody agrees with is that in the morning, when he puts on the Big Day Zahav, he does the Tamid Shel Shachar, because that's the first thing that is always done in the Mikdash. And along with that, he does the Ktoret of the Boker, and he does the Hatavat Neirot that are done every day in the Mikdash. So that's like Trumat HaDeshen, Tamid Shel Shachar, Tavat HaNeirot, the Ktoret, all of those are done in the morning. But the exact order might be argued about, but everybody agrees that's when he wears the Big Day Zahav. Those are the things that everybody agrees about. Now, the rest of it is laid in controversy. What is left over? One of the items that's left over is the Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim. When does the Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim brought? So you have two possibilities to the Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim. You have the possibility that it's brought in the second time he's wearing the Big Day Zahav, in the middle, the third tevilah. Or the possibility is that in the fifth tevilah, in the final tevilah. I'll show you in the Mishnah why it's unclear, and why there is a machloket about where the Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim goes. The other thing that you have to deal with are the Musafim. The Musafim of Yom HaKippurim are Par, Ayo, Shiva Kvasim, and the Seir Lechatat, which is what we know as the Seir Chutz. Those are Musafim have to be placed somewhere. The Mishnah will address part of that. That is subject to machloket, both within the Mishnah, and then later on in the Rishonim, of how to deal with what is written in the Mishnah and the Gemara. The next thing that we do not have clarity on is Elo ve'Ela'am. Mentioned in Parashat Achrayimot is that both the Kohen Gadol and the Am bring an Ayo that is La'ola. Where do those fit in? Where is that Elo ve'Ela'am brought? Right, so that's also not clear. We didn't have any information on it. It's true that everybody agrees that the Elo ve'Ela'am is brought in the third Tevilah. Everybody agrees that it's brought after the Avodah Tayom in that third tefillah. Where in the process of that third tefillah, that is subject to machloket. What's the order there? But everybody agrees that it goes there. What Roni raises is that there is a machloket, which we'll see at the end of today, which is that Elo ve'Ela'am, how does that combine with the ayol that is mentioned by the Karbanei Musaf? There's also an ayol, chad, that's mentioned by the Karbanei Musaf. Is that ayol the same ayol that is mentioned here in Parashat Achrayimot? That's subject to machloket, and obviously that would make a difference about how many elim that you bring. The last thing that we need to deal with, which is also not mentioned, is the emurei chatat. The emurei chatat are the fats of the par and seir bifnim, which we spoke about in the Mishnah, that he ripped them out, he put them on the platter, and then he left them to bring later. Well, when is that later that he brings those? Where are those emurei chatat brought? So again, that is subject to machloket, and it's either in the third tevilah or in the fifth tevilah. Again, we'll see in the Mishnah and the Gemara how the Rishonim deal with it. But just to be aware, those are the items that we don't have clarity on, and now we have to deal with. The Karbanei Musaf, Elo ve'Ela'am, the Emurei Chatat from the Pnimim, the Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim. Those are the issues that we have to deal with, which are not clear. And for that reason, you're going to end up with numerous opinions about this and numerous permutations about how to set it up. So the Mishnah begins. In Big Day Butzkore, if he was reading in his Big Day Lavan, Kidei Shedav Raglav, then he washes Netilat Yadayim again, because with every changing of the clothing, he washes Yadayim, does a Tevilah, and then with the dressing, he does another Kidush Yadayim Raglayim. So then, Kidei Shedav Raglav, Pashat, he strips down the Big Day Lavan, Yerad, Vitaval, he goes down to the Mikveh, Ve'alav Nistabeg, he comes out, dries off, Ve'vilo Big Day Zav, puts on the Big Day Zav, Vilavash, puts them on, v'kidesh yadav raglav, and does another kidesh yadayim. So now he's in his Big Day Zahav for the second time on the day. Now he's beginning the avoda. V'yatza v'asa. Now he does et elo, v'et ela'am. Does his ayil in the ela'am. V'et shivata kvasim t'mimim b'nei shana. He does the 7 kvasim of the musaf. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says, shiva kvasim is done over here. Rabbi Kiva omer, Im tamid shel shachar ayu grevim. They were brought along with the tamid shel shachar. Upara ula v'sa'ir anaseh b'chutz ayu grevim im tamid shel ben arabayim. Alright, I'm going to leave this unexplained. What you can see here already is a problem, which is that it begins that these were brought with the tamid shel shachar, and then it says at the end, these were brought with the tamid shel arabayim. Within that sentence, you do not know where to put the comma. It says, these are brought with the tamid shel shachar, and then it says, and then they were brought with the tamid shel ben arabayim. You can put the comma anywhere along here, which is that these are brought with tamid shel shachar, plus these are brought with tamid shel shachar, and this is brought with the tamid shel arabayim, or you could say, this is brought with tamid shel shachar, this, and this are brought with the tamid shel ben arabayim. The question here is, where do you put the comma? Do you put it before the parola or after the parola? That's really the item that is subject to controversy over here, because you could read it, im tamid shel shachar hayu grevim upar haula, so too. So here, anaseh b'chutz hayu grevim min tamid shel ben ha'arbayim. That is brought with the tamid shel ben arabayim. The Tosafot already points out that if it says hayu grevim, you have your answer already. If it's written in plural, then it must be that it's parola v'sir anaseh b'chutz hayu grevim, because otherwise, why are you using plural? So for that reason, Tosafot thinks that it should not be plural, and the Groa amends it to say that it's not in plural. Hayak karev. He changes it to the singular form in order to keep the question alive. Otherwise, there's no question. If it's in plural, then it should be Seir Bachutz and Parola because it's in plural. Tosafot gives a difficult answer, which is, oh, you have the Emurei Chatat also. Oh, that's what it's talking about. Something that's not mentioned in the Mishnah, that's why it says Hayu Karevim in plural. But the Groa says that doesn't make sense. It puts Hayu Karev to make sure that the question makes sense. Then, Kidesh Yadav Raglav, he washes his hands again, Pashat Beirad V'Tabal, he takes off his clothing, goes down to the mikveh, Vala comes out, V'Nistabeg, dries off, Vilo, Big Day, Lavan, they bring him his Big Day, Lavan, V'Lavash, he gets dressed. Kidesh Yadav Raglav, washes his hands again, here is everybody's Muskam Lekol, Ichnas, Lotziyat HaKafe HaMachta, goes in to take out the pan and the spoon, the ladle that he brought the Ketores in with, he goes in to remove them, that's all he does now. This is the one item that Gemara will get to on tomorrow's daf, which is, why is this the case? And it's out of order. This is what the Gemara says, is the only part of Seder Yom HaKippurim in Parashat HaKrimot that is out of order. Why is it out of order? To generate an extra tefillah. In order for him to change clothing one more time, that's why it has to be made out of order. Then, Yidei Shadav Raglav, Upashat V'arad V'tabal. Again, he washes his hands, takes off this clothing, the Big Day Laban, goes down to the mikveh. Allah V'nistapeh comes out, dries off. Hevilo Big Day Zahav. Now he wears his Big Day Zahav for the final time on the day. It's the fifth tefillah. The third time he's wearing the Big Day Zav. Lavash, v'kidesh yadav raglav, puts them on, washes his hands. V'nichnas, l'aktir k'toret shel ben arbaim, l'tiv et neirot. So he goes to do the k'toret, shel ben arbaim, and to be metiv et neirot. What's obvious missing is the tamid shel ben arbaim itself. That's why it's subject to machloket. Is this mean that the tamid shel ben arbaim is also now? Or does that mean the tamid shel ben arbaim was already done in the third tvilah? That's subject to machloket. Rambam believes that the tamid shel ben arbaim is brought in the third tvilah. Rashi and the Tosafot seem to think that tamid shel ben arbaim is brought in the fifth tvilah. The Ramban al Torah brings a proof to the Rambam that he thinks he's right. But there are no other korbanot now. Everything that's in after is not a korban. That is the final korban. They're doing hatavat neirot, ketoret, which are done after tamid shel ben arbaim every day. They're not done before it. So there's nothing here that's done that is a korban after that tamid shel ben arbaim. So they think it's the final stage of the third tefillah. That's what the Rambam says, and Ramban brings a proof to it. So then here you have missing tamid shel ben arbaim is clearly missing, and that is subject to machloket. The other thing that's clearly missing here is the emurei chatat of the Paran HaSeir. Those are not mentioned in the Mishnah at all. So that's why that's subject to machloket. But it's also elo ve'ela'am is only mentioned in Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Akiva never mentions it. So does that mean that we assume Rabbi Akiva agrees with Rabbi Eliezer? Or does Rabbi Akiva disagree? And the Elo Ve'elam is actually in a different order for him. Or it's a different area. And those are all the things that are left open by the Mishnah. After he finishes all the avoda, Kidesh Yadav Raglav washes for the final time. Upashat. And then he takes his clothing off. Hevilo Big Day Atzmo. He gets his own clothing to go home with. V'lavash. He gets dressed. The Melavino Toad Beito. They accompany him until his house. V'yom Tov Ayoseh Lo'avav. This is what you sing on Yom Kippurim, Emet Manehadar, Hayakun Gadol. And they make a party for him, his relatives, his close friends, the fact that he exited the Kodesh HaKodeshim in one piece. They join him in a party that he makes to celebrate his successfully getting through a Yom Kippurim. Yivailuhu, Heichin Ka'amar. What is meant in the Mishnah over here? I told you that phrase that doesn't make sense. Im Tamid Shel Shachar Yukrivim, the Shiva Kvasim were brought with the tamid shel shachar. That's what Rabbi Akiva says. Upar haula v'sir anaseh b'chutz im tamid shel ben arabayim. And the par of the musafim and the seir chatat of the musafim, they're brought with the tamid shel ben arabayim. That's one way to read it. Odilma, Hochikamar. Or is this the way to parse it? In Tamid Shoshacha Yukrevim, that's the Shiva Kvasim, Upara Ula Behadayu. And the Para Ula, the Para of the Musaf goes with them also in the morning. V'sirani Yaseh B'chutz, Im Tamid Shoh Ben Arabayim. And the Sir B'chutz goes with Tamid Shoh Ben Arabayim. So again, how do you parse it? V'tu, Para Ula, the Rabbi Lezer, Dishayre, Im Atabiduhu. Rabbi Lezer never addresses directly the Para Ula. He only addresses the Shivata Kvasim. So the Shivata Kvasim of the Musafim, what does he do with the Parola? Rabbi Kiva mentions it, but Rabbi Lezer never mentions it. V'tu, Ben the Rabbi Lezer, Ben the Rabbi Kiva, Emurei Chatat, Emat Aviduhu. These Emurei Chatat, where did they disappear to? How come they're not mentioned here? So Amarova, Lo Mishkachala, Mitaknato, you cannot find this fixed up, or in an order that gives you an explanation of everything. Ela Ola Rabbi Lezer, the Tana de Beir Shmuel. According to Rabbi Lezer, in the Tana de Beir Shmuel, which is an explicit braita that gives you everything laid out. Ola Rabbi Kiva ben Tosefta. Rabbi Kiva's opinion ben Tosefta. So these are braitot, but much more explicit, and they answer our questions as to what their positions are. I'll just tell you here that you have two strange phenomena right next to each other. Number one is, Ola Rabbi Kiva ben Tosefta. The word Tosefta is not used in the Gemara very often. It's almost rarely used, and it's never used in this way, which is that we're going to get Rabbi Kiva the Tosefta. Rabbi Kiva the Tosefta means that we're going to check what Rabbi Kiva said in the Tosefta. Gemara never uses the Tosefta in that way. The Gemara will quote Tosefta, but they quote it as a Braita. They never quote it as a Tosefta. The only time that Gemara mentions the word Tosefta is in the context of he learned Mishnah, Gemara, Tosefta, Sifra, Sifri, that way, or Stam Tosefta, they'll say is written by whom. But the Gemara doesn't use it in this context. That's number one. Number two is the phenomenon of Tana de Beit Shmuel. Tana de Beit Shmuel is a braita that comes out of Shmuel's Beit Midrash, which is also an interesting phenomenon because the braitot are a derivative of Eretz Yisrael. Braitot are from Eretz Yisrael. All the Mishnaic works in the braitot come from Eretz Yisrael, not from Babel. The fact that Tana de Beit Shmuel has a braita that is found or coming out of the Beit Midrash of Shmuel is very strange. All the bright dot or something should be found in Eretz Yisrael. Whatever they have in Bavel is coming from Eretz Yisrael. The fact that Tana de Beit Shmuel has a bright dot that nobody else has, and now it's quoted as a Tana de Beit Shmuel, is a very difficult phenomenon. So again, here you have, together, you have quotations from these two types of sources, which are a little rare or difficult to explain, and they're going to bring us the answers. And they're together the phenomena. Just interesting to note before we read them. And now, Tana de Beit Shmuel. Here is the Tana de Beit Shmuel, and now we have Rabbi Eliezer Omer. What the Gra suggests over here is that this is Rabbi Eliezer of the Tana de Beit Shmuel. But Rabbi Eliezer of the Mishnah does not agree with this. That's how the Gra reads it. Most people read it that this explains Rabbi Eliezer. I'm going to explain Rabbi Eliezer of the Mishnah in this way based on this Braita. The Gra says no. This is Rabbi Eliezer in the Tana de Beit Shmuel, and we'll know the information about that Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer of the Mishnah? That's not the case. And the Gra keeps them separate. Rabbi Eliezer Omer. Yatsa vasa ilo ve'ela am. Ve'murei chatat. So first of all, here you have a piece of information that wasn't in the Mishnah. There's Elo ve'elam, which was there, but emurei chatat had now been added in. Aval. Now the word aval is important here. Paro ola b'shivat kvasim asir nasei b'chutz im tamid shal ben arbaim. There's the remainder of all the musafim, and they are done together with the tamid shal ben arbaim. So we've answered all your question. Where is the paro ve'ola of Rabbi Eliezer? And number two is, where is the emurei chatat for Rabbi Eliezer? Here, this answers it. But that is because the word aval is found here. Tosafot over here says that there was another girsa, which happens to be the girsa of the Rach, did not have the word aval in it. It says, Veshvarim, Shem Bahem, aval parola. The word aval is missing. And Tosafot says, well, I don't think that's right, because if you don't have the word aval here, then you're back to the Mishnah's question, which is, where does that go? Because then you have one long phrase here, and it says, Tamid Shoh Ben Arbaim. What is done with Tamid Shoh Arbaim? What is done with the Tamid Shoh Shachar? You run yourself back into the same problem again of where to parse the statement. He says the aval clearly parses the statement and gives you an answer. Otherwise, you're back to square one. But if you do that again, it would then shift where these items moved around in terms of the musafim for Rabbi Eliezer. Number one, according to the Rach. And number two is it might affect where you bring the Tamid Shel Ben Arabayim. And this might be the source for the position of the Rambam that the Tamid Shel Ben Arabayim goes in the third vilah. Okay, Rabbi Kiva Tosefta Mai. Rabbi Kiva has found a Tosefta. What is that? Tatanya. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Par Ha'ola, Vishivat Kvasim Im Tamid Shel Shachar Karivim. So now we have it clear that what goes with the Tamid Shel Shachar? The Par Ha'ola and Shivat Kvasim. That means that they put a comma after the Par Ha'ola. Par Ha'ola goes together with the Tamid Shel Shachar. Shenamar, how does he know that? Because it says, Yovad Olata Boker, Asher Lulata Tamid. This is not written by Yom HaKippurim, but it is written in the Parshat HaMusafim. And the Parshat HaMusafim, the Regalim, it says, Yovad Olata Boker, Asher Lulata Tamid. The Musafim are aside from the Tamid Shel Shachar. Seemingly that they are connected to the Tamid Shel Shachar. Therefore, Rabbi Akiva puts the Par Ha'ula and the Shiva Kvasim together with the Tamid Shel Shachar, because they go together. V'achar kach Abudat Hayom. Afterwards, he does the Abudat Hayom. V'achar kach Seir Anaseh Bachutz. And then he does the Seir Bachutz. So the Seir Bachutz is pushed back. Even though it's one of the Musafim, should really be together with the Tamid Shel Shachar. Why it's pushed back? Shneamar Seir Yizim Echad Chatat Nuvad Chatat HaKippurim. Because it says, with regards to the Seir Bachutz, the Seir Chatat of the Musafim of Yom HaKippurim, Milvad, aside from the Seir of Yom HaKippurim, the Seir LaHashem. So based on that pasuk, it sounds like the Seir LaHashem precedes the Seir of the Musafim. You can't put the Seir Musaf first, because it says you bring the Seir Chatat aside from the Seir LaHashem that you already brought. According to Rekiva, the Seir LaChatat should have been in the morning. It's not in the morning because of the pasuk that says it must be after the Seir LaHashem. Then he brings the ayal and the elam. Then, v'acharkach emurei chatat. So there's your solution to where he brings emurei chatat. V'acharkach tamid shel ben harbaim. And then he brings the tamid shel ben harbaim. Again, where that fits tamid shel ben harbaim is subject to that machloket. Does that mean acharkach in that third vila? Or acharkach means in the fifth vila that he does the tamid shel ben harbaim. Right, so now you have all of the answers that we needed. We have where the Emurei Chatat are, we have where the Ayal is, we have where the Par Ha'ula is. We got all the information we need for Rabbi Akiva. The Gra changes the gear, so you can look at the Al of the gear. He says first the Elo Ve'Elam goes first, because that's almost a continuation of Odot Hayom. So he thinks that goes first, then the Emurei Chatat, then the Seir Naseh Bachutz, because you finish up everything that has to do with the Avodat Hayom according to the Gra. And then you do the Seir Naseh Bachutz in that order, and then the Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim. The Gra changes the order that we have in our Gemara and says that all the Avodat Hayom has to go before the Seir Naseh Bachutz, and not the way that we have it in our Gemara, which is the Seir Bachutz is first, and then you have the Elo Elam and the Emurei Chatat that are brought on the Mizbeach. My time with Rabbi Eliezer. What's the reason behind Rabbi Eliezer that he does not bring the Musafim by the Tamid Shel Shachar, but rather he brings it by the Tamid Shel Ben Harbaim? It says, Avid Dereisha Torat Konim, Father Avid Dechumash Pikudim. The fact that he ignores Milvad Olat HaBogar Shalat HaTamid is not a big deal, because it's not written by Yom HaKippurim, it's written by the other Musafim. But what's the reason that he wants to ignore it? It's because of this. He wants you to do everything that's mentioned in Parshat Achrayimot before you do anything that's mentioned in Parshat Chumash Pigudim. So the Musafim get postponed until after everything that is mentioned in Parshat Achrayimot is done. So that's how you can only do that, because the Elo Ve'Elam only comes in that third Tevila. That means all the Musafim have to be in that third Tevila, and so therefore he does none of the Musafim in the morning because of that. And that's the reasoning behind Rabbi Eliezer's position. The Al Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva, what's Rabbi Akiva's reasoning? Kentani Taima. He wrote his reason. We saw it. He gave us the psukim that give him his reasoning. Because the musafim have to be juxtaposed or adjacent to the tamid shel shachar. Alma musafim and tamid shel shachar avidu. You do them together. Rabbi Eliezer, I milvad chatat kippurim my avidai. Again, as I pointed out before, milvad olat the boker shalat the tamid. He doesn't have to answer because that's not written by Yom HaKippurim. But the milvad chatat kippurim is mentioned by Yom HaKippurim, and that makes it sound like the Seir Bachutz has to be brought at the end. But only the Seir Bachutz has to be brought at the end. What is he going to do with that? He doesn't need that limud that Rabbi Akiva has, because he doesn't keep the Musafim by the Tamid Shel Shachar. He has it all by the Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim. So what does he do with that? He needs it for what the Gemara in Shavuot says. Amash zemechaper, zemechaper. Like what this one does, the other one does. Which is that the Kataot of the Regalim of Yom HaKippurim, both the Seir Hashem, that's Bifnim, and the Seir Bachutz, are all mechaper on the same thing, which is Tumat Mikdash Udashav. But they're manifestations of Tumat Mikdash Udashav that do not have kapara through a chatat. So they're missing something. In order to bring a chatat, you need a diya b'tchila, you need a diya in the beginning. Then you have to have a shichicha, forgetting, and a diya b'sof. So now the Gemara in Shavuot deals with this and says that each of these three different musafim deal with different cases. One case where he has neither yediya b'tchila or yediya b'sof. That's one of the musafim. Then there's a case where you have yediya b'tchila, no yediya b'sof, that the seir bifnim takes care of. Then you have something that is no yediya b'tchila, but only yediya b'sof, that the seir b'chutz on Yom HaKippurim takes care of. So that's what the Gemara says. How do I know which is for which? That connection in the pasuk between the seir bifnim and the seir b'chutz tells me that each, they also have one yediya. They both have one yediya. It's just the difference of the yediyas before or the yediyas afterwards. And that's what it teaches you what they're being mechaper on. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishmo. Yehuda says over in the name of Rabbi Akiva about the Musafim. And he says this. So now Rabbi Yehuda adds another permutation or layer to Rabbi Akiva. Echad karev im tamid shel shachar, v'shisha im tamid shel ben arbaim. The shivak vasim, you split them up. You bring one together with the Tamid Shel Shachar and six of them with the Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim. But also Rabbi Shimon Omer Mishmol, says the name Rabbi Akiva, Shishak Revim and Tamid Shel Shachar. Six of them go together with the Tamid Shel Shachar, Vachadim Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim, and one of the Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim. Maitamayu, the Rabbanon. What's the reasoning behind their positions? Trey Pry Tive. They have a problem. We have a steer on the Psukim. Tiv Milvat Olata Boker, which is what brought by Rabbi Akiva before, that tells us you need to bring the Musafim together with the Tamid Shel Shachar. Uchtiv, v'yatza v'asa et olato. That he goes out and does his ola. Now, what is the ola? The ola and the ola ta'am is the ayol and the el'am. The ayol and the el'am is one of the musafim. At least if you believe that the ayol that is found in Achremot is the same ayol that is found by Chumash Pikudim in the musafim, that means that he does the ayol after he's finished Avodat Hayom. That means for sure, one of the musafim is after the Avodat Hayom, not together with the Tamid Shel Shachar. So what you know now is you have one pasuk that says it should be together with the Tamid Shel Shachar. Another pasuk tells you that the ayo of the Musafim is clearly not together with the Tamid Shel Shachar. So how do I deal with that? Hilkach. Oven minayu hocha. O minayu hocha. There's a portion of them here with the Tamid Shel Shachar and a portion of them together with the Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim. But Maika Miflegei, what are they arguing about? Yehuda Savar Avid Chad. Tichtiv. You do one like it says. Novad Olat Boker. Vahadar Avid Avodat Hayom. Then you do Avodat Hayom. Dilma chusha cholish kohen gadol. Maybe he'll get tired. So we want to minimize the amount that he does with the Big Day Zahav stuff and force him to save his energy up for the Big Day Lavan, which is the most difficult of the avodot. So he saves up the energy. So we do the minimum amount in the morning, which is one. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon Savar came into Atchil Ovid Shisha. If you're already going to start, do six. We had this by the menorah earlier. If you remember that once you do that, do as many as you can and leave over the minimum amount. Dilma pasha, because maybe he'll not remember, he won't do it as well. The gabei avodat hayom zorizu. The guards avodat hayom. That's what he's been practicing for. That's what he's living for. Avodat hayom is something that he'll definitely be zariz for. We don't worry about the other stuff, the musafim, the regular stuff, big days out. That's the type of stuff that he'll get lazy about because that's not the ikar avodat hayom. So therefore, we try to maximize what he does early on and leave over the minimum. To kulei alma miat. Everybody here agrees that chad ayohu, that the one ayol. I mean, the ayol of musaf is only one because the ayol of musafim and the ayol that are mentioned achimot are one ayol. Otherwise, you have no proof for the fact that the ayol of musafim is brought after avodat hayom. They're two separate Eilim, then just the fact that the Isle of Achimot is brought after the Avodat Hayom has nothing to do with the Isle of Musafim. It must be that they're one Isle. Kiman, who's that like? Rabbi. That's like Rabbi, the Tanya, Rabbi Omar, Isle Echad Amur Khan, Hu Amur Bechumash Pegudim. The Isle that is mentioned in Parshat Achimot is the same Isle that is mentioned in Musafim. And therefore you have a proof to this. Below of Rabbi Shimon Omer, Shnei Eilim Eim. There are two Eilim, it's two separate Eilim, and therefore you can't bring any proof to it. What's problematic here is, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon was one of the opinions before. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon was one of those opinions in Rabbi Akiva. Now you're telling me Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold of it. So everybody thinks like Rabbi. Well, guess what? Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon doesn't think like Rabbi. Tosafot asked the question. It says that Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon before is saying it in the sheet of the Tanakhama, on the sheet of Rabbi Akiva. But his own personal view is that there are two Eilim. Echad Amur Khan, one that is written here in Achrimot, Echad Amur B'chumash Budim, one in Parshat Pinchas. My time with the Rabbi. What's Rabbi's position? Dichtiv Echad. It says that he brings one. So one is one, not two. Ve'Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, my Echad, Miuchad Shebedro. Echad is not defining how many. It's telling you that it's got to be unique, the best quality.
The term
Elo is the Ayol of the Kohen Gadol. That's one Ayol that everybody agrees on. Elaam is the one that's here. It's a question that Elaam is the same as the Musafim. Rabbi Nafkelemi Mivchar. Nidrechem. We already have a pasuk that tells you, you've got to bring the best of what you bring for your korbanot nidava. Belazer Rabbi Shimon, chad bechovah, chad benidava. One's telling you by chovot you have to bring the best, and one's telling you by nidavot you have to bring the best, the tzricha, and you need both of them. So Rashi points out, there's an easy way that you can make it tzrichuta, which is that maybe by nidava, where you bring a voluntary offering, you're not supposed to bring it there, you have to bring the best, because you're not obligated to bring it. Or maybe the other way around, maybe by obligations you have to do the best. When you bring a nidava, you're already doing something voluntary, you don't have to bring the best. For that reason, I need two psukim over here. The only thing to know, Tosfot asked the question here, is why is Rabbi Akiva not satisfied? If we have the two psukim that say that the ayo goes afterwards, and the milvad olat tmeish olat boker, why don't we do everything of the musafim in the morning and just bring the ayo later on? That would accomplish both psukim. You bring the par and the shiva kvasim together with the tamid shel shachar, and the ayo you bring together after the avodat hayom, and then you've accomplished everything you needed to do. And the seir b'chutz also will be afterwards like Rabbi Akiva. Tosfot says that he thinks that milvad olat boker shel olat tamid is the governing pasuk here, and therefore we're going to try to do as much of the musafim as possible in the morning. So that means the par of the olah will go in the morning. The kvasim will also go in the morning. The ayo has to go in the afternoon because the pasuk says, v'yatza v'asa, that he goes out and he does the ayo, so that must be in the afternoon. But then we have to leave over something from the kvasim because of the way that they're written. We know that Parshat Achrayimot is written before Chumash Pekudim. So we have to have some manifestation or recognition of the fact that the Musafim are written all the way at the end. The Kvasim are the main area where you have to deal with this, because the Kvasim are more than one. Since they're more than one, you have to split them up. And since they're written at the end, we have to have some semblance or residual that is also after the Avodah Tayom. For that reason, we have to leave over some of the Kvasim. How many? That comes from the Machloka that we saw before between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Lazar be Rabbi Shimon. Okay, we'll stop over here.